Moncrief on News Talk.
You have no doubt heard the claim that we only use around 10% of our brain power. In your noggin are vast reserves of yet untapped cleverness. That's what happens when new belief stuff you see on Facebook. Here using all of our brain is Ruth Freeman from Research Ireland. Good afternoon, Ruth.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Where did that myth come from?
So apparently it comes from a psychologist called William James about 100 years ago. Sort of in a philosophical moment, he said we are only using a very small part as humans of our possible mental and physical capacity. And this is kind of the origin of the statement, if you will. But there was also this idea, I mean, our brain is made up of loads of different kinds of cells. But the one we've all heard of is our neurons. But there was an idea at the time that neurons were only about 10% of the brain. So the idea maybe that the rest of it was sort of padding or just architecture to keep it all in place. Maybe that's working. But we don't really know. But we do know it's very widespread. So
yeah.
In a study in the US, about two thirds of people believed that to be true. I'm sure we're much less here, but yeah. two thirds in the US.
But it also implies a misunderstanding of how a brain works.
Well, exactly. Yeah, this idea, you know, that there's sort of very defined sections. And of course, now we can put humans and all sorts of other animals into really expensive machines like MRI machines and PET scanners. And we can actually see what's going on in the brain. We can see where blood is flowing to different parts of the brain. So what we actually see is sort of networks of different parts of the brain becoming active at different times. And it isn't like there's just one mode that then switches to another and switches to another. There's different patterns, you know, which might take prominence at different times. So, you know, for example, if you're daydreaming, there's something called the default mode network, where particular parts of your brain are really active in helping you to think really expansively. But we can now look into those sorts of things.
Yeah. How much, when you're using your brain, how much electricity are you using?
Well, of course, that everyone's talking about that now with AI because we're so conscious of how much computing power that takes. So our brain runs on about like 20 kilowatts, like a low powered light bulb. It's really incredible. I mean, really, one good sandwich could power your brain for the day if you didn't have to do anything else with that sandwich. So it's incredibly powerful when you think about what we can do with really very low energy. So I mean, scientists are quite excited about that now because, you know, we're running out of compute power really for things like AI.
Yeah. So, which begs the question really, if, you know, and we know AI is using massive amounts of electricity from our grid and water. Mm-hmm. Why can't they get it to be more efficient?
Well,
or is it because we don't know enough about how our brain works to be able to copy that?
Well, exactly. I mean, I think with computing, there's sort of a fundamental block in that processing and storage happen in different places. So any kind of computer, whether it's your phone or your laptop at home or some of these big data centers, bits and bytes are being shuttled between storage and processing. So we can process very fast, but there's a lot of energy used in sort of moving information around in a computing system. What's amazing in our brains, and researchers don't even fully understand this, but the synapses, the place where our nerve cells talk to each other and join, seem to be doing processing and storage in a way that's far more efficient than we can do with AI systems. But there is this whole area now of neuro AI. So it's sort of come full circle because obviously, you know, the brain and the way neural networks work, they inspired AI. But now researchers are using AI to really look at the patterns of how those networks appear in our brain, because they're so complicated. You know, you need huge compute power to do it. And then they're using that understanding to feed back in how you optimize the AI models. So, you know, that's one thing that's really fascinating. The other thing that's a really amazing area of research is actually connecting neurons to microelectronics. So there's a company in Australia, and what they're doing, they have something called Dish Brain, and they actually have cells attached to essentially a circuit board.
And that's not at all scary.
Yeah, Cortical Labs, they're called. And those cells, they've actually got them to do. Now, when you say they're training them, I'll be careful about the language, but the electronic signals going into the brain cells in the dish, the cells then respond to whatever signals are coming in.
Okay.
And they give the cells locational information from the game Pong. I don't know if you know that game. It's like two paddles sliding and you have to knock, like table tennis kind of in a computer. But those cells can actually learn, in inverted commas, how to play Pong. And they can do that through this microelectronic plate, but they can do that using almost no energy. So there's a fascinating kind of future. It's very Terminator, this idea that we might be able to integrate cellular biological systems with electronic systems in the future. So it's all kind of sci-fi.
Though, would it now? Obviously, there's things AI can do much faster than any human could do. But if you compare an AI with a human brain, artificial intelligence ain't that intelligent compared to the way our brain works.
No, well, I mean, AI is trained on data sets. And I think that's one of the most amazing things about the human brain. We can be put into situations with very little context and our brain will kind of help us figure out how to do it. Mm. And we can also flip easily between, well, most of us can flip easily between lots of different tasks as well. And you know, there is a flexibility and we can learn from really quite few examples, whereas AI needs huge amounts of training data to kind of appear to have the same kind of level of intelligence as us in certain activities. So, you know, there's certainly still advantages to the human brain. And as you said, like, we don't even understand the brain. It kind of is one of the real frontiers in research still that we're trying to find out about.
Is consciousness just an idea that we have about ourselves, or is it an actual thing?
I mean,
That's a scientific/philosophical question.
Yeah, I mean, there's really interesting research, actually, particularly by Professor Kevin Mitchell in Trinity College in Dublin, and, you know, really exploring that idea of consciousness and the brain. But I would say, again, that's a real frontier where kind of it's bringing together philosophy and neuroscience to really understand that question. You know, it's that's a bigger question, I think, even than science can answer.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't have to, well, are advances in AI technology moving so fast that you could be in here talking to me next year and, you know, you won't have to come in? Some sort of, you know, AI version of you can put rolled in inside a Hoover and you'll be able to answer all those questions that you have today.
Or you might be the AI.
Yeah, absolutely. The two of us think of it.
Well, hopefully not, because this is much more fun than that. I mean, look, we're hearing a lot of hype about AI at the moment. And I think there's some researchers who would say, you know, some of that is hype and it's a good way to get your stock price up before you float if this idea that your AI is so powerful. But on the other hand, we've seen real, I think, cause to say this is moving very, very fast. And it's one of the reasons why we do actually have to talk about it, because I think that most people would have a sense they've no idea what's going on when it comes to real advances in AI. And yet, if you go into a room nowadays and you ask people to put up their hands and say, are you using AI? You know, you kind of 80, 90% of people will say yes.
Well, probably a lot of us are, and we don't realise that when we're talking to
that,
bots and all that kind of stuff. Mm. If AI is doing research into the human brain, and, you know, we all know that AI can have these so-called hallucinations, but they get things wrong. That still means, though, a human has to check what the AI claims to have discovered about the human brain.
Absolutely. And I guess that is one of the great things about science. You know, even though science doesn't always get it right first time, it should, in theory, be a correcting system. Because, you know, particularly if you're a publicly funded researcher, you know, I work for Research Ireland. We fund public scientists, not private scientists for the most part. And they have to publish what they do and they have to put it out there in the open. And that does mean other people get to poke at it. And actually, an interesting use of AI is actually picking up, you know, where science may have got things wrong, or there may be data that doesn't quite hang together. So the flip side of things, AI could help us actually accelerate science better and faster if you were an optimist.
Yeah, let's hope so. Ruth, thanks a million for coming in to us. That was Ruth Freeman there from Research Ireland.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.